The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, you missed Sal Palantonio and some other stuff. A little TV talk, a little bit of everything, a little poker talk. So do we have Lance?
I'm here.
All right. Well, let's go to our man Lance Zierlein, talk a little draft. It's game week, man. How you doing?
Doing good. What's going on, guys?
Man, I'm curious if you are, like, when you finish, you know, when the draft ends, are you relieved? Like, is it suddenly like a weight lifted off your shoulders? Because I know you spend so much time doing this stuff, you know, or is it something that you miss doing?
No, you know, at first I did. I kind of did miss it. Because I didn't know what to do with the rest of my day. But actually, they'll keep me busy for a couple of weeks after the draft writing, like, several iterations of who's the most underrated player who got drafted? Who's the most overrated player in every round?
Give grades and, you know, on their drafts. You know,
I mean, it's kind of the same kind of list type stuff where things I really hate doing, but, you know, I'm not the boss, so I'll do whatever they ask me to do. But it's, it is a big kind of weight off the shoulders in terms of the daily grind, but it's just a weird year this year because I never flew into, I didn't hardly do any television, and now the last week they're asking me to do a ton of television. Well, it starts tomorrow, and then I don't know, I think I'm going to be one or two other times this week, and then immediately after the draft I'll be doing TV hits on NFL Network from the radio station near our video room. And then, I got to do a second and third round mock, so I probably won't be done until 3 or 3:30 in the morning on, I guess that would be Friday morning, technically.
Right.
And then I have to do the same thing all over again on Friday night. Although I don't have to do a mock draft. I just have to do TV and then Move the Sticks podcast, so... It'll be good when the draft is over. I mean, I'm just too anxious about whether or not we're even going to have a season. I just don't even know if we're even going to get, you know, have a season. Are they willing to play without fans? I talked to some NFL people who said, you know, they just think it's funny that everyone keeps assuming that a season is going to go on if there's no fans in the stands, and their entire point is, players and staff members and coaches are all regular people who could also, you know, carry coronavirus. And if one person has it, then it shuts everything down. So I know there's beginning to be lingering concerns that without, you know, without wholesale testing, which my guess is the NFL of all the leagues, Trump would make sure that the NFL got tests that they needed. But then how do you handle it if somebody, you know, if somebody tested positive for coronavirus? And I don't know. I can just tell you the people in the league are really starting to get concerned about whether or not there's going to be a season.
Lance Zierlein is our guest. So have you done all your players now, or do you still have a few left to get knocked out?
I got three left. Three left.
These have to be three, like, seventh-round borderline draftable guys, right?
I mean, it was a little tougher this year because they didn't have pro days, so I probably wrote some guys up who have zero chance. I mean, some guys won't even be in camps. So I reached out to a guy in the league yesterday who I'm friends with and said, hey, I need to make sure I make these last eight players count. And we went over some names, and so that's what I'm writing right now. I'm actually writing a guy who was at A&M for a brief time, a guy named Kirk Merritt, who got in a little trouble at Texas A&M and got kicked out of there. And he can't get drafted, but he's this incredible athlete who might have a chance at getting to into a camp. He would have been a draftable player if he hadn't had so much trouble. Started at Oregon.
He can't be drafted?
What's that?
What do you mean he can't be drafted?
Well, he's got too many personal issues.
But, I mean, he could be, but he's just highly unlikely to, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, man, I didn't know there was rules, like if you're a bad egg in college.
They put it this way. No one's touching this guy.
Okay. That's more sensible. I thought you meant, like, they weren't allowed to draft him. I was like, yeah, oh, man,
no,
what'd this dude do? Is he, like, O.J. Jr. or something?
No. Just, what did he do at Texas A&M? Here, I'll read. It's public knowledge. He was avoiding everyone at the East-West Shrine Game or the NFLPA game. Let me see. He was kicked out of Texas A&M for an exposure incident.
Exposure to coronavirus or like he pulled his crank out?
No. His quote, the 20-year-old sophomore is accused of exposing and touching himself during tutoring sessions. So that's usually not draftable.
Well, yeah, definitely. That's what we would call a red flag in the business.
Yeah, it's a red flag in life anywhere. At a Sonic, pretty much everywhere. It's going to be tough to get drafted if that's out in public at all.
Yeah, fair enough. So
I
guess he's not getting drafted.
Vertical leap like this guy has, you're not getting drafted.
Well, I mean, how big's the exposure?
It was a widespread issue.
Because you want guys who are physically blessed, obviously, in as many ways as possible.
Well, you like physical traits. You like explosiveness in the hips relative to football.
I mean, I think anyone who's willing to pull it out during a tutoring session is probably pretty proud of it.
I don't know that that's up for debate.
I mean, I never pulled mine out during tutoring sessions. I was never like, hey, look at this. So, you got to give him some credit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he gets credit. He got kicked out of school.
So he's not getting school credit, but he should get life credit.
Literally wiped out his credit, like literally.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad. Is there a team, because we were just, when Sal Palantonio joined us in the, who apparently is going to be your coworker because ESPN and NFL Network are doing the draft together, combining forces. Is there a team, he said there's no team he could see moving up unless it's for a quarterback. Do you feel sort of the same way?
No, I don't agree with that. I think that it's always about who the desirable players are. Relative to the needs of teams behind, it has to do with supply and demand first and foremost. If there's a player that you really covet, for example, we saw Philadelphia wanted a tackle. They're worried about the Texans, so they moved up. It's really the idea of trading. I know there's an idea that no one's going to want to do trades because of technology, and already the Bengals had a problem with technology with this mock draft that the NFL tried to put together today. But I do think that there is a chance that if Isaiah Simmons potentially slides or Derek Brown, because I think Derek Brown's going to slide, if Jeffrey Okuda were to slide, if a team really, really covets a cornerback like C.J. Henderson from Florida and they're worried that he'll go 12 to the Raiders, these are guys that I could see people trading up for because they have some special ability or traits. Or in Henderson's case, there's really only two real first-round cornerbacks to me, and that's Jeffrey Okuda and C.J. Henderson. So if you're a team that's desperate for corner, like maybe Atlanta, like Atlanta might be a team that says, hey, let's jump up four spots and let's get them. So I actually disagree with – I think there's a better chance that they trade up for a position other than quarterback this year. So I'd like to go ahead and say I'm on the complete opposite of South Palantonio.
All right. Well, I'll take your word for it, of course. Lance, who's a player right now that most people are expecting to go in the first round that won't, and who's a player that's not expected to go in the first round that will, in your mind?
Well, okay, so people are still working off the Grant Delpit in the first round. He's not going in the first round. So it depends on how closely they keep up with it, because his name has been mentioned, you know, forever, and that's not happening. I think another guy who, from Iowa, A.J. Epenesa, I don't think he's going in the first round. A guy that you don't think is going in the first round that could go in the first round could be Josh Uche from Miami. I'm not Miami, but Michigan, or potentially Michigan center named Cesar Ruiz, he could. But in terms of, there's also a shot that Jalen Reagor from TCU could end up sneaking into the first round, too. As far as if there's any sexy names that people might know, I don't know if there's any, you know, off the top of my head that would be, you know, somebody that would immediately pop with college football fans, but those are some of the names that I think are and there's one guy, and I think Javon Kinlaw could fall a little bit. There's some injury issues with him. Tua, I think, could slide a little bit. That's worth keeping an eye on.
When you say slide, are you talking, you know, a couple spots, or are you talking about like Aaron Rodgers slide?
It could be a longer slide right now. I think it's kind of up in the air. I mean, I just don't know what teams, how concerned teams are with not having his medicals. The fact that Michael Lombardi the other day said that he talked to a team that said they believe Tua is going to have a hip replacement. That's a major, major concern. And if one team starts to think that, then that gets out, which it obviously is out, then all of a sudden you're saying, wow, if there's a team that believes that's the case, then we're not going to take any chances. So if he gets past 5 and 6, if Tua slides past 5 and 6, look out, because I don't think Jacksonville's taking a quarterback this year at 9. The Raiders would be the next one that I would think might be willing to at 12. And all of a sudden, what happens is if you slide past 3 different teams who have a need, then other teams get really gun shy. So I don't think it's likely that there's a massive slide for Tua, but I do think I want to prepare people. It is possible. It is possible that he takes a tumble, and it will all be because of COVID, where teams weren't able to get him in to do their own medicals. That'll 100% be what it is.
So if he does get there, if he gets out of the top 6, 7, 8, the Patriots sitting at 23, is that a team you could picture maybe jumping up a little bit and taking a chance?
Yeah. I think if he falls far enough, because Bill Belichick doesn't give away future first-rounders. That's just not his move. That's not typically his MO. They don't have a second-round pick this year. They do have additional thirds, but thirds don't really make the world turn. You know, it doesn't really move the needle in the first. So if Bill Belichick likes him enough, and remember, he and Nick Saban are tight, and they're, you know, there's a connection between Alabama and the Patriots in terms of those two head coaches. If that slide starts happening and he drops past 12, 13, 14, 15, all of a sudden my ears would perk up, because I would think that even if they didn't think they wanted to move up and get a quarterback this year, I would think New England is potentially in play then. And if they're not in play, then that really tells you something.
Yeah.
Hey, Lance, one more before we let you go. Is there a quarterback outside of the guys that we've, you know, the top four, and then maybe Jalen Hurts, but some other guy that might get drafted that could wind up being at least a functional backup that we haven't really been talking about?
I think there's a James Morgan, who he didn't have any touch, but he's got a lot of talent from Florida International. I think he goes in the fourth round. Nate Stanley from Iowa, I think, has an outside shot of becoming a functional backup from Iowa. He's more like a fifth or sixth. Those two guys, then there's a guy out of Oregon State named Jake Luton, who takes care of the football real well and has good numbers, but I think he's more, I don't really think he's going to be an NFL backup. I think he's more of a outside shot at being a backup, more of a three. But James Morgan from Florida International. He's got some ability. That's the guy that I think is going to be the target of teams in the middle rounds, hoping that they, you know, strike gold. So we'll see how that one works out. This just isn't a great year if you're looking for a quarterback. And Jake Fromm is just a game manager who could be Jake Fromm could be a really good backup because he's very smart. I think he'll be great in a room somewhere to help the starter, but I think he'd be a low level starter. So Jake Fromm's another one I should have mentioned, and I think he's a fourth rounder as well.
Yeah, Jake Fromm seems like a prototypical lifetime backup quarterback, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, but a guy who's probably not talented enough to run a team, but is a guy that you like to have available.
Yeah.
AJ McCarron, kind of the same boat, I guess, at this
point. Yeah. Same kind of guy. I mean, Fromm didn't have a lot of physical gifts, but he's super smart. And he's been in some really high leverage games, so it's not too big for him.
I noticed you didn't mention Jacob Eason, who, I mean, if I had to pick one guy, well, maybe with the exception of Tua for medical reasons, but one guy whose stock has dropped the most since the college football season ended, it'd probably be Jacob Eason as far as the quarterbacks.
So with Eason's a little different because I think Eason's either going to be a starter or out of the league in 3 years or 4 years. So. I was really trying to think of backups, you know, to Fred's question. I was really trying to think of backups, but I think Eason has starting potential. But to me, man, there's a lot of Osweiler in him. He's got a great arm. He's got better arm talent than Osweiler, but he just doesn't handle pressure well. And it's just so hard to play in the NFL right now, if you don't handle pressure.
The comp that I had for him when I was watching him this last season was Ryan Mallett.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, that's a really good one, because I mentioned that, too, to a team, and they thought that was a really good comp, too. There are times where I thought he looked like Carson Palmer with arm talent, but Ryan Mallett's there, too. And Ryan Mallett is a little more – Ryan Mallett's a better comp because, you know, he's – now, I think Jake Eason actually throws with much better accuracy than Ryan Mallett, but they both got big arms, but Ryan was a knucklehead. Jacob Eason's had some knucklehead stuff in his background.
Well, Ryan Mallett was like snorting the 50-yard line. So, those problems were a little bit different. I just meant from a physical standpoint and like what their film is.
Comp. Similar. I think Eason can throw it with more accuracy. Mallett was a little bit more of a wild child when it came to flinging the ball around the yard. But, yeah, physical talent and size, very similar.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. I feel like he is Santa Claus, and Christmas Day is right around the corner. You're about to have that time of year where you just, you know, you sit around and, you know, Mrs. Claus does strip teases for you, and you got nothing going on for like about 6 months, and then you got to start making your naughty and nice list again. But
The naughty and nice stuff actually starts up sometime in the summer. Hell, if I can't get out of my house, I'll probably start it even earlier this year.
Well, appreciate you giving us all the insight throughout this process, and it's definitely valuable stuff, man. So,
all right,
enjoy draft weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys. We'll see you.
All right, let's take a quick break. Great
stuff.
By the
way, you
Lance,
can hear Lance every day from 7 to 10:30, right there on the bench.
Well, there you go. All right, we'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Happy Monday. Hope everybody is surviving out there and staying Rona-free. And those of you who are fortunate enough to work, good for you, man. Those of you who are not, hang in there. It's going to get better. It's got to. Can't get much worse. So, man, I'm intrigued by some of these later quarterbacks. The kid from Colorado, too, is getting a lot of buzz as a potential, you know, sleeper-type mid-round guy. And I'm wondering, though, how many of those guys are going to get real chances at backup jobs, because it sure seems like the quarterback market is pretty flooded right now.
Well, yeah, and especially because you had a few guys who had some success in the XFL who they moved their way into the conversation, and it seems like we're getting to an age where there's several quarterbacks who have been starters for a long time who are about to be transitioned into full-time backups. Marcus Mariota comes to mind. Andy Dalton comes to mind. So that takes up a few backup quarterback jobs. And let's face it, I mean, most people would – you'd feel – especially if you're a team that's got a chance to do something, you probably feel more comfortable having Marcus Mariota as your backup than some, you know, fourth-round, fifth-round rookie. That makes total sense to me.
Or maybe even Jameis Winston at this stage.
Exactly. Yeah, that's another guy. So, you know, the way I've looked at some of these quarterbacks, and I've watched them throughout. I don't do the research after the season that Lance does, but I certainly watch a lot of college football, and I'm always on the lookout for guys that I think could potentially, you know, be NFL players. And there's some guys that I've seen that I'm like, oh, maybe that guy would be. And Steven Montez, who you mentioned, the kid from Colorado, is a guy who's got NFL size. That's a guy that I thought about. Jake Luton, who Lance mentioned, is a massive, massive person. He's like 6'6", 6'7". He's a big boy, good arm strength. Just didn't have a lot of success there. And then there's quarterbacks who are really good college quarterbacks, but then you have a hard time believing that their game translates to the NFL. Tyler Huntley is at the top of that list for me. I just have a hard time seeing him, you know, making that move. You know, Kelly Bryant's going to be somebody's going to look at him. I don't know if he'll get drafted or not. I don't know if Shea Patterson's going to get drafted from Michigan. But those are guys that I saw who, I mean, they're good college quarterbacks. I just don't know if an NFL team is going to look at them that way. But a lot of the reasons why I say that is, you know, those guys are undersized, or they don't have the same accuracy or the tools that a lot of NFL teams. Mason Fine from North Texas, another great example of that. But teams have started to find those guys and have success with them. So maybe that's me being a little bit old school in my way of thinking, and there's some teams who will look at those guys in the later rounds and think, you know what, I'll take my chances with a guy here who seems to have some pop to him.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that we actually have some football to talk about, at least for a few more days. Hey, can I give you my Rona idiots of the day?
Sure.
If you're going to go out and risk, you know, doing something you're not supposed to, I'm guessing sneaking into a safari is probably pretty low on your list.
Okay.
The New Jersey Police Department basically had to make a strange request of all residents: stay out of the Six Flags Great Adventure and Safari during the coronavirus pandemic. The park had 3 uninvited guests in 24 hours. On Thursday,
were they
a 49-year-old
man, or were they trying to ride rides?
They were trying to hang with animals. Hmm. Says a 49-year-old man was issued a summons for defiant trespassing when he was caught on the property and told police he was there to see the animals. That same day, 2 other men were captured on park security cameras climbing over the fence and entering the safari property, where they potentially could have risked coming into direct contact with safari animals. They wandered around for about an hour before leaving.
I have a friend who lives in San Antonio, and she's got 2 little kids, and they did like one of those drive-through safaris, and there were like giraffes sticking their heads in their windows, and I'm like, I mean, I guess it's not dangerous, and you're technically social distancing if it's only your family in the car. It just seems like a really odd thing to do at this time, right?
Well, and they weren't in a car. These guys are wandering around.
Yeah, that's not
wise.
What
if you piss off an elephant or a rhino or a tiger?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lions in there.
Well, what if you piss off a tiger or if you've got, like, a cologne on your shoe?
Yeah. Well, guess what could happen? We've seen that, and you don't have a gun to shoot to get the...
Or even worse, where you get sardine oil on your shoe.
Yeah.
That bitch.
Yeah, I'm blaming this on Tiger King. people are like, oh, I got to go see tigers.
Got to be around these animals. That's really, right.
Yeah, well, now they're going to start breaking into to Michael Jordan's house since that's the new thing.
Yeah, someone on Twitter told me you can't watch it live on ESPN Plus, which means because I've gotten rid of TV, I'll always be a day behind. He said you can always see it the day after. So the good news for me is I didn't watch it last night. It means today is the day after, so I'll be able to watch it today anyway.
Well, there you go. I will.
But that means I'll always be the guy who's one day behind. So if there's something, the good thing is I don't think there's going to be any surprises that happen. I don't think it's going to be like, oh my God, can you believe? You'll never believe who won the championship. I think I'll believe it. You know.
Yeah, I'm probably going to cut DirecTV after I watch the Better Call Saul finale tonight. I think we've kind of gone through and made a list of all the shows that we want. Went through our
well, that's my one
DVR.
Regret, is I cut it before Better Call Saul ended. But what I have found is there's something, I had one of the apps that we have, one of the 50 different services we've got, has Better Call Saul episodes for like $3 each. So yeah. I think when they're all, once they're all up there, I'll probably, I mean, I think I'm behind like five episodes. So I'm basically going to pay $15 to watch the rest of the season. But considering that I've not paid a cable bill, which was like over $200, I haven't paid that in 2 months, $15 doesn't seem so bad.
No, and we've kind of, we went and checked everything. And like the main reason why I was keeping it in the first place was because I needed it for AT&T Sportsnet. Well, I'm not going to need that anytime soon.
What, you're not watching any Rockets games this season?
No, not at the moment. I'm not, so... but yeah, so we're probably going to cut it off after this, but I'm not really blown away by it. And I think I finally am. I'm not even going to watch the rest of Westworld. I finally decided full ejection. last night's episode was so awful, and it's yet another in a long line of just awful episodes. And I'd like to find one person who thinks it's good. And I ask this every week and nobody ever responds. But if there's one person out there who thinks it's good this year and you're not a writer on the show, I'd like
raise your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm glad I gave up on that show. And I've got my, now right now I've watched the first two episodes of The Wire. So I'm rewatching that. My wife's watching it for the first time. And as you know, it's my favorite series of all time. So that's the great thing about having, you know, this quarantine thing. I've got more TV time than I normally do. I still don't have as much time as like as you'd seem to watch television, but I've got plenty of time, so I'm using it to watch shows that I like, not even shows that I haven't seen. I'm just like, you know what? I haven't watched The Wire in probably 10 years, 10-plus years. My wife's never seen it. Let's do it. So
yeah, I'm going to rewatch that, and I have more time because... yeah, you know what? I don't know that I need to go through that one again, but definitely The Wire I'm going to rewatch. And you know, the reason I have more time is I don't have kids and I can't sleep. So
exactly.
I get to watch a lot of stuff. So, but you know what? I always like to watch them while I'm having a Carbach.
That's a good way to do it, my man. And, you know, Carbach is obviously, they're not open right now. A lot of breweries stayed open. They're not. Their tap room is closed. Their restaurant is closed, but they're upping their efforts in grocery stores. So if you're worried that Carbach is going to run out of beer, they're not. They're making sure that every grocery store is fully stocked, every gas station is fully stocked, so there's plenty of Carbach to be had. And they're doing great things for the community, as always. I mean, I know we're trying to give some stuff to charity right now with our poker tournaments. Carbach does it year-round. Crawford Bach helps out the Astros Foundation year-round. Southern Wheat helps out the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation year-round. Coastal Conservation Ale supports CCAF Texas year-round. They've got something for everybody. Love Street, Hopadillo, Crawford Bach, Southern Wheat, Weekend Warrior, Rodeo Clown, Light Circus, Hop Tongue, the Rattlers, the BBHs, the Viva Cella, Lil Cella, Hella Cella. They've got something for literally everyone. So when you're at the grocery store, make sure you stock up on Carbach. Need a taste of your own medicine, 'cause I'm sick to death for swallowing. Watch me take the wheel like you, not feel like you.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We're talking TV. One thing that I finally watched that the wife had watched and loved it, I'd watched like one episode and didn't get into it, so I gave it another shot. And I think it's on Netflix, but it's Jekyll, and it's Stephen Moffat wrote all of those. He wrote Sherlock. He wrote that Dracula that I watched earlier. And really freaking good. It's only six episodes, and it's funny. The first five, it's called Jekyll, and the last one's Hyde. And it's one of those modern-day retellings that he does so well. So if you're looking for something a little different, there you go.
Have you heard of a show on Netflix called Unorthodox?
I have not.
I've had a couple people recommend this to me, and it's basically, I think it's like a Jewish woman who is fleeing from an arranged marriage. I think it's sort of World War II era, maybe, or maybe it's not quite that. Maybe she's like, it may not be. I don't know. I've just heard that it's very good. I was going to see if you've seen it, but I've not yet. That's something that I'm kind of interested in.
Yeah, I have not yet. I said I watched all of Bosch season six on Saturday, and that was really good. And that's a good show. It's if you like cop dramas, and it's based in L.A. and he's it's really just a different take is on a detective, and I thought this season was pretty good. A little different, and they solved some of the crimes earlier in the season. Usually it takes them the whole time, but I liked it. So if you're, you know, looking for a cop show, and obviously I think that's Amazon though. And then Daryl said, check out Peaky Blinders. Yeah, we've seen Peaky Blinders.
Oh yeah.
That's most of the stuff that people throw out, we've seen.
I wasn't aware of this, but the show is apparently in Yiddish, and so you have to watch it with subtitles, unless you speak Yiddish. But it's the premise says a 19-year-old Jewish woman named Esti runs away from her arranged marriage and ultra-Orthodox community in Brooklyn. She moves to Berlin, where her estranged mother lives, and tries to navigate a secular life and take classes at a music conservatory. Her husband, who learns she is pregnant, travels to Berlin with his cousin by order of their rabbi to try to find her. Mm. You don't sound interested.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very appealing to me.
Okay. A couple people have told me subtitles, it's very, very good. So maybe that maybe I'm being played here.
Well, my problem is subtitles. I'm not a fan of, because I have to. I'd rather not deal with that, because I can do other stuff. I can work on the website. I can do some writing.
But you watch Narcos and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, but it's just more of a commitment when you have to do that. That's all.
Well, this is only four episodes, yeah, which is the reason why I might watch it.
How long are they?
Less than an hour each.
Okay, well, I'll let you watch
it. I'll watch it, and I'll let you know if it's worth a damn. It might not be worth it. I might give up on it. It sounds like something I might give up on after an episode or two.
Yeah.
But honestly, I probably won't even start it until I finish watching The Wire again.
Yeah, well, that won't take you that long. There's not,
what's there, six
seasons?
There's
not that much to The Wire. Yeah, I think it's six.
Yeah, that's a lot to me. It's six seasons is very little to you. It's a lot to me.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good, though.
It's great.
AJ, what are your thoughts on Outlander? Just got started watching season one with the wife. Pretty good so far.
I don't hate that show. There's some scenes in the early seasons that are very uncomfortable for me. Like, there are very graphic, like, rape scenes that they're not a lot of fun to sit and watch. So be forewarned. It is, and also my biggest beef with that whole show, and the only reason I've watched it is because my wife loves the book series and loves the television show, so I watch it with her. She watches plenty of crap with me that I know she doesn't give a damn about. But my biggest issue with it is it's got time travel, and you know how I feel about time travel.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the point of the whole thing. I think I mentioned I read a couple of the books and wanted to give the series a try, and it didn't really capture me. But the books were solid. But yeah, it's time travel, and it's not good time travel.
It's like they touch these magic rocks, and they I mean, it's weird.
Yeah.
And they can only you can only go back to like this one particular time, and then go back to like you can't go to the future. You can only go to a certain time in the past or the present. It's a really odd choice for time travel. Like, there's no way to set when you're going or where you're going. It's very weird.
See, I think now that Endgame came out and they did time travel about as well as you can do it, mostly by making fun of all other time travel, it's going to be really hard for somebody to top that unless... I don't know what direction you would go time travel wise where you'd do a better job than they did in that movie.
No, that would be tough.
Yeah, I mean, even the way they explained away every little detail.
Yep.
Like, you know, the
and made fun of the fact that are you sure that's not from a movie?
Yeah. The
Lamont's right. The Wire's just 5 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. And Longhorn Dimitri said just finished Barry's second season. Pretty good. I like that show. Again, it's a comedy, which I know you're not as into, but it's a very dark comedy. And, you know, I like it. Henry Winkler.
I don't like laughing. I don't like laughing.
Well, it's weird. You don't like comedy series, but you'll watch comedy movies all the time.
Not all the time. I mean, I'll watch a comedy movie, but it's definitely not my favorite genre.
Yeah, I this one I like because it's a little different. You know, I like a show that's not that's original and not the same old stuff for a comedy. He's a hitman who starts going to acting classes. So
makes sense.
Yeah, and it goes all over the place from there. So again, I think you'd enjoy it, but it's a HBO.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one channel that I still have. I get it free with my phone subscription, and I get Lamont saying HBO's free for everybody right now. So if you haven't seen The Wire or Sopranos or Deadwood, go watch those things now. I would say depending on how much time you have, if I don't know what the how long it's free for, but I order those shows, The Wire, Soprano, Deadwood. But if you have very little time, watch Deadwood. If you have a lot of time, the most time, watch Sopranos, and if you have a medium time, watch The Wire.
Yeah, from what I understand, that you don't get all the actual series that HBO.
But you do get those three, I know for a fact.
Yeah, you do get those three, and those are the three you should watch. So,
did you like Oz? Right. Like in the early days of HBO, that like Oz was on when I was in high school.
Yeah, I watched it. I mean, I wasn't in love with it, but I watched it. I thought it was good.
Especially for its time. Like, I don't think Oz would hold up all that well, but at the time, there weren't shows like Oz. I was very interested in it.
Well, and that's the thing that they were doing so well with HBO, with all those shows. And they all were different. You know, like 6 Feet Under, I was never a big fan of, but that show was different.
And yep.
They were just way ahead of the curve. Now, you look back on some of those and you're like, I don't think they'd hold up very well. But, yeah, I like that show. I like Christopher Maloney was in it. He was in Law & Order SVU forever. I liked him as an actor. Ernie Hudson, J.K. Simmons, a bunch of people. So,
yep.
All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
We are dying now. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Well, Aaron's in the Veritex Community Bank Studios. The rest of us spread out all over Houston. Reminder, we will be doing another poker tournament this week. Huge success last week. The first 2 weeks have been great. And all you have to do is go to sportsmap.com, and it is right there on the editor's picks, or you can just email to you can email us, and I've lost the liner here, to promotion@galmedia.com, and $60. I mean, if you want to pay $50, you can, but the $10 is a donation that goes to Kids Meals and the Southeast Texas Food Bank in Beaumont. So appreciate everybody who played last week. Appreciate all the winners who donated money from their victory. And hopefully we'll raise even more money this week. We've gone up each week. So looking at probably two more of these because, you know, depending now, if we're still on lockdown in May and people still want them, we'll keep them going and keep raising money and hopefully keep having some fun with it. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, this is the classic get off my lawn story. And we go to Flagler County, Florida, where a 74-year-old man is facing criminal charges after deputies say he pointed a gun at a group of golfers. Apparently, John Orr, 74 years old, yelled at the group, who were playing the conservatory... What's that?
Or what?
Oh, God. Or I'll shoot you with my BB gun, apparently. He yelled at a group that were on this golf course on Friday afternoon. He said he yelled at them and then went back to his house, only to return minutes later holding a BB gun, which he then pointed at the golfers. Orr told deputies he was upset because the golfers drove a cart on a wooden bridge meant for walking, which he said is against course regulations. So,
well, that's a good reason to point a gun at someone, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just
honestly, it might be the best reason to point a gun at someone.
Well, don't you drive on that bridge. That's meant for walking.
That's a walking bridge.
I'm going to shoot you. And now he's facing, he's behind bars on 7 counts of aggravated assault, so he faces 7 felony charges.
That's assault, brother.
This is my golf course, and you fellers can't be riding those carts up on that bridge. Next thing, you'll be riding them on the green. Which, yeah, I didn't realize golf courses were still open in Florida, but,
dude, my dad,
they are.
My dad lives in a, like on a golf course. Here locally, and I said, are a lot of people still golfing? And he's like, every day. People are out there golfing every day. He said, if it rains, they're golfing. There's less of them if it rains, but they're golfing. It's crazy. People will not stop playing golf.
Well, and I used to play a lot, but this guy, he exists everywhere. The guy who's going to protect the rules of the course.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a very valuable member.
But now he's going to... But you throw the BB gun into the mix, which,
that's,
I mean...
That, now it's a crime.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's what... that's what old people do. They protect their golf courses.
That's right.
So... Oh, boy. 713-780... ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. That is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
Tell your dog to settle down.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, we just had an Amazon package
at
the door, and they rang the bell, and of course she goes nuts. So, Oh, well. She's been pretty good for most of this.
I'm not going to lie. Times, not too bad.
Yeah, there have been a couple times when I've been, just talking, and she'll run in here and jump on me, but she won't bark. So she only barks when it's something like that. So, so far, solid B-plus for her. There's only been a couple of times that, and one of them was the wife's fault, because she decided she wanted to go do some work in the front yard the last time she barked, and left her inside here, and of course, forgot that I was doing the show.
Yeah, the dog's not having that.
Nuts. Yeah, it's like, dude, come on. So, 4-9 asks, in a worst-case scenario of no NFL this year, how would they determine the order of next year's draft?
If there's no – there might not be a draft next year if there's no NFL this year. Because there won't be – that would mean there wouldn't be a college football season, right?
Right, but that doesn't mean those guys are going to get another year.
If they don't have a season at all, you don't think they'd get another year of eligibility?
Yeah, but a lot of those guys are going to want to go to the pros. They're not going to want to go back. The guys, especially guys who've been there 3 years.
But
Trevor Lawrence is going to go back.
I don't know. I mean, don't you? I guess he wouldn't have to, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how they would do it.
I would bet, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to have some kind of season. It'll probably be abbreviated. It may be in the spring next year. But I would imagine that if that happened, you'd just use the same draft order from this year.
Oh, boy. That's a pretty big competitive advantage for the teams that drafted high.
Yeah, except those teams are always drafting high, and we know they're going to suck, so they'll blow it somehow.
Yeah.
I think the Redskins and Giants, even with two high picks, would – and it doesn't matter because the Texans don't have a pick. So
that's true. Well, presumably they have a first-round pick next year.
No.
Oh, yeah. No. They've gotten rid of that, too.
Yeah, this year's and next year's are gone. And next year's second.
Oh, boy.
Would have been nice to get one back for DeAndre Hopkins, but, that's...
He wasn't worth that, Fred. We all know that. It's not what they go for.
That seems to be the consensus, so...
I'm just asking you to give me a year, give me 2 years, give me 3 years, and then if you still think the trade's stupid, we can talk about it.
Oh, by then, you know what the answer is then, though. Oh, we're looking ahead here. We're not looking back.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he'll be saying in 3 years when it's a total disaster again. There's no way this turns out well for them. I think Bill O'Brien would be the happiest guy in the world if there was no season.
Yep. All right. Give him a year of respite, certainly.
Well, it buys him another year. And
exactly.
Boy, it's too bad. That trade would have worked out really well.
Well, that would be a year off his contract, right?
Well, there is that, but, he's got contract for life, man. he's safer in his job than you are in yours.
Well, certainly.
So, do you see what your boy Jose Canseco's been up to lately?
I did not, but we do have music. We'll have to talk it on the other side, and we'll have to talk it with Eric Warner from Carbach.
Oh, he'll probably appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Quick break. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow. Trunk in the front like a Dumbo. Yeah. Cut the roof off like a nip touch. Pull it to the house with some big.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.